The God of this universe is very, very serious about his pursuit of lost sheep. We see this very clearly and explicitly in Luke 15, which will be the basis of our study this morning. But we see this theme or this metaphor in many other books of the Bible as well. The theme of God being our shepherd and we are his sheep. You'll find this in the Psalms, of course, memorably in Psalm 23, but in others as well. You'll find this metaphor present in the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And I was struck in particular by what the Lord has said through his prophet Ezekiel. It is in Ezekiel 34 that we read the following. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. In this passage, the leaders of Israel were judged by God. They were judged by God according to whether or not they were pursuing and going after lost sheep. I think it is fair to say that the church and its leaders will be similarly judged according to our willingness or our lack thereof to do the same. Well, what category are we speaking of when we talk about lost sheep? When we use this metaphor, whom are we describing? Biblical commentators fuss over whether lost sheep is a category for someone who's not yet a Christian, or whether lost sheep is a category for someone who is of the faith but has fallen away. Well, as I survey the variety of passages we have with this metaphor employed, I'm tempted to say that it's both. That it's both, that the lost sheep refers to anyone who's not currently following Jesus Christ. It might be a scenario where a person has not yet come to faith. And it may also be a scenario when a person has come to faith but has fallen away. Lost sheep refers to both those kinds of people. And the Lord tells us through his prophets that it's vital, that it's imperative that we pursue and go after those who are living apart from the Good Shepherd. It wasn't many years ago that the phrase WWJD became popular in Christian circles. WWJD stands for What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do? And the idea is, if followers of Jesus, when confronted with situations, if they would ask themselves and answer that question, what would Jesus do? They would be able to orient themselves in the correct way. Well, in this particular instance, as we ask the question, what do we do with lost sheep? What do we do with people who don't follow Jesus? Either they've never followed Jesus, or they once did and they no longer do. What do we do with them? What would Jesus do with them? Well, in this instance, we have tremendous clarity. Through Ezekiel, this is what the Lord declares. He says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will search for the lost and will bring back the strays. This is how the Lord feels about his sheep. And the promise is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, who said those words after seeing Zacchaeus come to faith. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. I think most congregations get this. Most congregations understand to some degree that we have a responsibility, that we have a job to do to go after lost sheep. My worry, however, is that very few congregations, it seems, treat seeking lost sheep as one of their primary responsibilities. You could go congregation to congregation, and probably every leadership group would tell you, yes, we need to go after lost sheep. That's part of what we're about. But I think very few would say that this is the main thing. This is the primary thing. And yet, this is the sense that I get from Jesus, who says, I came for the purpose of seeking the lost. I came for the reason, the express purpose, to save the lost. It seemed to be the main thing for Jesus, and so my prayer is that it would be the main thing for His people and for His congregations. And you know what probably gets most in the way of pursuing lost sheep? Now, by no means am I an experienced minister, only 12 years as an ordained minister, but in that experience, the thing that interferes most with seeking lost sheep are very, very good and necessary things. Very, very good and necessary things. What I mean is we tend to do things that are good and necessary that are less daunting for us. Because as we look at the list of things that we might be engaged in as a congregation, undoubtedly we would put as one of the toughest this task of going after lost sheep. And so we run interference for ourselves by doing good things. We sign up for a committee. We serve at a congregational social. We take a turn helping in the nursery or teaching Sunday school. We join the choir. We do a great number of things. We write generous checks. And all these things are good and necessary, and we must have them. But I think often we run interference on this main thing by doing good things. Jesus cared immensely. He cared immensely about going after the lost. For Him, it was His mission. It was His purpose. And so my dream is that churches would be marked by the same. That yes, while we do a plethora of good and helpful and necessary things, that our main thing is that we're going out beyond these walls and we're bringing back the strays. We're searching for the lost and bringing them in. This should be the primary mark of every congregation that bears the name of Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone shared this concern, not in Jesus' day, not in our day. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees were not really that interested in going after sinners, going after people who had let their temple attendance lapse. The Pharisees were more inwardly focused. And so knowing this, we're not surprised to find that they're muttering, literally muttering in Luke 15, at the idea that Jesus is welcoming sinners, that He's having meals with people who have strayed and who are lost. And so it was in response to the muttering Pharisees, it was in response to the insiders, that Jesus teaches these three very familiar parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and perhaps the most well-known, the parable of the lost son. I'm glad Jesus told three parables because each has a distinct element within it. But there is a unified theme within the three, and it is this. Lost people matter to God. Lost people matter immensely to God. And they matter so much. And what we see here in these parables is the character of God's love towards the lost. We see here very clearly that the love of Christ for the lost is an active love. It's a working love. We see in this passage that the shepherd does not sit idly by when one of his sheep has gone wandering. The shepherd is active. He works. He goes after the lost sheep. Nor does the woman who lost her coin shrug her shoulders or sit idly by and bemoan what she has lost. No, in each of these instances, an all-out search is warranted. That which is lost is so valuable that maximum effort is required to recover it. Now, I know I've told this illustration once before, and it hardly matches up to Diana's account of her mother being lost, but I'll give this again. A number of years ago, I told the story of my cat Tigger escaping from our cottage. Now, it was long ago. Allie and I were fairly newly married, and Anya hadn't come along yet, and Tigger was like our only child. She was so precious to us. And Tigger had been my cat since I was a teenager, since I was 14 years of age. And I remember Tigger was tough to manage at times, and as soon as we opened that door, out she went. And what followed was an all-out search to find Tigger amid a massive, dense forest. And we had to work very, very quickly to find Tigger, because you can imagine that the longer you're looking, the wider your perimeter needs to be. So as the clock ticked on, we had to cover more and more ground. We were also battling against the sunset, because once it became dark, it would be very, very difficult, maybe impossible, to locate our beloved cat. Moreover, by the time it would be at nighttime, Tigger would be in danger, invulnerable to the coyotes, which were known to roam the forest. So Allie and I, we searched frantically. We searched relentlessly for Tigger. We set aside all our social inhibitions. We were running up and down the roads yelling, "Tigger!" And the neighbors are looking out, "What in the world are these people doing?" And we were just shouting relentlessly for a very long time. And thankfully, we found Tigger. In fact, it's amazing how these things work. A child in a nearby garbage can is found by police and rescue, and our cat was found less than 50 meters from our home, within a bush-like tree. She wasn't very far, and it seemed like we'd been searching forever for her, but it was scarcely an hour or more. And if we had to do it all over again, we would have searched all night if we needed to. We would have done whatever it would have taken. We would have exhausted all our resources to find our precious cat. And I do think that this is an accurate description of how God goes after lost sinners. That there's an urgency to it. That there's a hard-working aspect. There's an activity to it. There's a generosity to it. There's a giving and sacrificing. God's love towards those who are lost is a working and active love. Now, I don't want to universalize my own experience, but I must admit as I look inwards that it is often the case that my love for those who are lost is not active. It is often the case that Bryn McPhail's love for those who are living outside of Jesus Christ is not active. And if you fit this category, maybe you console yourself the way I console myself. I point to the third parable. I point to the third parable and I say, "See the Father? He's not running around chasing his son, looking for him. He's patiently waiting. And I'm just not the shepherd type. I'm not like the woman looking for her coin. I'm like the patient father, waiting for my friends and family to return." And I console myself with that parable and what's taught therein. But I think that's a mistake. I think it's for good reason that there are three parables in Luke 15 and not one. Could it be the case? Could it be true that pursuing lost sheep requires both urgent effort and also steady patience? Could it be that Jesus doesn't intend for us to have one or the other, but he wants his followers to have both the urgent effort of the shepherd and the woman and the steady patience of the waiting father? Christ's love, God's love for lost sinners, is a working love. It's an active love. But we see also in this passage, it is self-denying. It is sacrificing. The shepherd gives up the safe confines of his particular pasture, and he goes after the sheep in the open country, in the unknown territories where unknown dangers await. The shepherd risks the security of the 99 in order to save one. The woman used up valuable oil in order to keep her lamp lit as she continued her search for a single coin. And most profoundly of all, Jesus sacrificed his life. He paid the ultimate price to bring back lost sinners. He died for us. And if we come to these passages and we're reminded of the active love of God, if we're reminded of the self-denying love of Jesus Christ, it begs the question, to what degree has your love for the lost been self-denying? To what degree has your love for the lost been self-denying? What have you given up? What have you sacrificed to bring someone back? I want to share a silly illustration. Well, I think it's silly, and you're going to think it's silly, but I hope it's a helpful illustration to help us to come to grips with the need that our love for the lost needs to not only be active, but it also needs to be self-denying. I ran this illustration by Allie, and she said, "Oh, I can't believe you're going to tell that. They're going to think you're a strange bird after you tell them this." Early in our marriage, Allie and I would sometimes take road trips to Florida. And I'm guessing there are probably people among us here today who've done the road trip to Florida. I think of, what is it, I-70 to I-95. And we became somewhat familiar with that journey early in our marriage. And when it came to mealtime, you're driving for long periods, eventually you need to go to the washroom, you need to gas the car, you need to eat something. I had this very, very unusual custom. Like any of you would in this instance, you exit the highway and you go down these very busy streets that are literally lined with nothing but gas stations and restaurants. And my unusual custom was this, and I'm embarrassed to share it with you. I was so determined to make good time and to get there on schedule that I would say that we would only make a right-hand turn into the gas station or into the restaurant. That taking a left-hand turn would just take too many seconds off our journey, that whatever restaurants were on the right, whatever gas stations were on the right, those were the ones we were going to go to. Those would be the easiest to get on and off the highway for. Yes, you can see now why I'm a little embarrassed to share that with you. What I was communicating in that very unusual custom is that I was unwilling to be inconvenienced. I was unwilling to be inconvenienced in my journey. And my worry is with the church. My worry when it comes to individual followers of Christ is that we too are unwilling to be inconvenienced when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ. If the opportunity is right in front of us and we can't miss it, we can't get around it, if the friend we want to talk to makes it easy for us, if the conditions for sharing are perfect, then we'll talk about Jesus. But if it's difficult, if we have to bring up the subject, if we have to make a difficult left-hand turn in our conversation, we're unwilling. Friends, I want to remind us all this morning that the example of Jesus Christ is that the pursuit of lost sheep involves a sacrificing love, a self-denying love, a love that goes after lost sheep even when it's not convenient. I want us to also note what happens when the lost sheep is found. What happens when the lost coin is recovered? What happens when the lost son returns? What follows, as we see in the passage, is an elaborate celebration, a massive party. Friends and neighbors are called in. We're given a beautiful description. When the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. What a lovely image. What a lovely image. I'm pretty sure I smacked Tigger on the bottom and said, get in the house. But that's not the way the love of Christ works. The lost sheep is put on his shoulders and joyfully is taken home. No questions, no scolding, no grounding. The sheep is carried joyfully home. And then he calls friends and neighbors together, rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep. Jesus then explains the celebration. He says, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. How important is pursuing lost sheep? There is a massive party in heaven for every sinner who is recovered. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, I want to remind you there was a day when heaven partied because of your return. That your return to Jesus was so important to God that heaven celebrated. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you've not yet committed yourself to Christ. Perhaps you're here because you're still investigating. You're still giving Christianity a test drive. Here's what we have the scripture telling you this morning. The Lord is pursuing you. The Lord is pursuing you, and he's pursuing you with an act of love. He's pursuing you with a self-denying love. Jesus gave up his life that you might forever have a relationship with him. And for this congregation, parting words for a congregation. I want you to hear that this is no peripheral activity. That this is not a secondary thing. That pursuing lost sheep is God's priority. And my prayer and my hope for this group and for all of God's people is that we'll never stop thinking about those who are outside our walls. That we'll never stop praying, that we'll never stop planning, that we'll never stop pursuing, that we'll never stop prioritizing those who aren't here yet. The God of this universe cares immensely about the lost. And I pray this will always be true of us. Amen.